business. Schumpeter. They've lost that loving feeling. Foreign firms were lukewarm on America long before Donald Trump.
Which is it? The home of free speech, the rule of law, and the rich world's most dynamic economy? Or a land of social decay, septic politics, and the rich world's worst roads and schools? America divides foreign observers. It divides foreign firms, too. Some bosses fall head over heels for its insatiable consumers and dazzling technology. Other executives are put off by its insufferable lawyers and hypocritical protectionism. Donald Trump promises to give foreign firms a rude awakening when he reaches the White House. This month he beat up Toyota for making cars in Mexico and selling them north of the border. But in truth, many foreign firms fell out of love with America years ago. The conventional view is that foreign companies are irresistibly attracted to the place. If one affair ends in tears, there is always a new paramour in the wings. In the 1970s, British buccaneers, led by Sir James Goldsmith, picked up neglected firms. In the 1980s, Japanese firms lost their financial virginity by paying too much for Hollywood studios and Californian skyscrapers. A decade later, continental European firms rushed across the pond, culminating in Daimler's doomed tryst with Chrysler, a rival carmaker. By this account, Chinese firms are the latest to get the love bug, with China's richest man, Wang Jianlin, in the role of the besotted tycoon, having paid a blockbuster $4 billion to assemble a chain of mature American cinemas since 2012. But this narrative is hopelessly out of date. The most accurate metaphor for foreign firms in America today is of disappointed hopes. Their share of private output has been flat at about 6% since 2000. The share of sales that European firms make in America has declined from 20% in 2003 to 17% now, according to Morgan Stanley, a bank. Foreign firms' profits in America fell from $134 billion in 2006 to $123 billion in 2014, the latest year for which figures are available. Their return on equity fell to 6%, compared with 11% in 2006. American multinationals make 12% on their home turf. This souring romance reflects three deep shifts in America's economy. First, technology has a greater importance than it used to. At the same time, the gap between Silicon Valley's giants and their peers abroad has grown wider. A generation ago, Europe and Japan had real contenders in the technology industry, such as Nokia and Sony. Now they have no answer to the likes of Apple, Google, and Uber. Second, waves of mergers and acquisitions have made the economy more concentrated. That has raised the barriers to entry for outsiders. If you split the world's companies into 68 industries, American firms are the largest in two-thirds of them. Foreign companies in America are often subscale and too small to buy the leading firms in their sector, so they try to grow organically or buy weaklings instead. In 2013, SoftBank, a Japanese technology group, paid $22 billion to buy a struggling mobile phone operator, Sprint, which is now losing $1 billion a year. The most profitable investment in living memory by a foreign firm in America was not a gutsy triumph, but a passive stake in a domestic oligopoly, Vodafone's 45% share of Verizon Wireless, which it sold for $130 billion in 2014.